Mike Golay, who is live in the studio. Good morning, Mike. Mike? Let's see. You are in production. Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? I can hear you now.
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
Doing good.
Cool.
How long have you been in Portland again? About...
I've been in Portland almost 2 years, coming up on the two-year anniversary.
Well, you've been hiding out pretty well because I hadn't heard of you.
I have, yeah. They keep me chained up. Mm-hmm. It's all right.
Mm-hmm. And you are really tight buddies with Al Pettaway, who worked on this record with you.
I am. I met Al and his wife, Amy, probably in 1999. He used to live in the D.C. area, which mm-hmm. is where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied with Al for about 6 months, off and on. I always wanted him to try to play on a record, and finally we worked out the time.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet. And they put on a great show.
They do.
They are mesmerizing.
They do.
Because they're multi-instrumentalists, both of them, and great singers, and Al is just an amazing guitarist.
He's phenomenal. I think, I don't think it's hyperbole to say that Al's probably, one of the greatest players in the world.
Right.
Sorely underrated, I think, but we're going to change that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, let's get him up here. Let's,
yeah, I know. We're trying.
Yeah. Well, it's a delight to meet you, and certainly these recordings of yours that you're the two recordings that you sent across the bridge, and the other one, which is not right in front of me. What's the name of the other one?
Half Pint.
How could I forget? That is, I was listening to that late last night. It was a wonderful recording.
Thank you.
Because you, it's not all the same. It's a very, very varied body of work. Is there someone that, was that done with Al's help on that Half Pint, or was that strictly your own baby?
Half Pint was me. I just, I had studied with Al for about 6 months, and I remember asking Al, what should, because Al and Amy moved from D.C. down to North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of trying to get a last, tell me what to do with my life kind of thing from Al, and mm-hmm. he basically just said, just keep doing what you're doing and keep writing. So I kind of took that as a cue to write some tunes, get them together. And that's kind of how Half Pint happened. I was very ambitious to start out with. I think I had about 16 to 18 tunes, and it became kind of overwhelming for a first project. So I cut it down to 10. And Half Pint, the proper pint glasses are actually 20 ounces,
mm-hmm.
even though we recognize a pint as 16 ounces.
Right.
So I cut that down to 10 tunes. So there's 10 ounces of tracks on there, plus two ounces of suds for a couple of tunes that I did a little bit of kind of retracking and stuff with.
Well, also the notes. I mean, you just have this humorous way of describing the work.
Yeah, I think if people don't like the music, they should definitely just read the liner notes. I get a lot of comments about the liner notes. So, I do try to put some energy into that because, part of playing the guitar, part of the challenge of playing guitar for people is solo guitar anyways, there aren't any lyrics. So you kind of have to wrap these stories around these tunes. Which I do when I play live. I try to tell these little stories, how the tune was inspired or whatever, and I try to do the same thing in the liner notes for people who get the record and kind of want to know a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have this incredibly beautiful guitar, which we're going to have to make sure that we get some pics of for sure. But it's a beautiful guitar that you said was made in D.C. where you used to live.
Made in D.C. by a guy named David Berkowitz at Berkowitz Guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy, super builder. He's building me another guitar. He's building me a baritone right now, so
mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to getting that. Hopefully in August, we'll see.
Right.
You end up with luthiers. You end up adjusting to what's called luthier time, which is mm-hmm. 1 week equals 3 weeks. 3 weeks equals weeks equals 6 months.
6 months.
Six
equals
months
a year.
Equals 3 years.
Oh, three years.
Years equals don't call me anymore. et cetera, et cetera. But
right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. But baritone guitar, you know who plays an incredible baritone guitar? Don Ross. Have you seen his?
Absolutely.
Have you studied with him?
I haven't studied with him. I know him loosely. I've met him a few times, and he's on the same label that I'm on, Candy Rat Records.
Right.
And yeah, actually, it was Don's baritone playing that made me want to play baritone.
I'm gonna get me one of them.
Exactly. Exactly. And in fact, you know, it's funny. Don jokes that, you know, he got this baritone made, and then like suddenly Pat Metheny got one made too, and mm-hmm. put out a record, you know, mm-hmm. and what was that one called? Up All Night? Or no, One Quiet Night. Beautiful, beautiful right. record.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of sweeping the nation, the baritone craze. So,
yeah. Well, there's this wonderful tone and richness to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I bet you there's some richness to that guitar that you got holding on to right there. What are you going to start with?
I sure hope so. I'm going to do a pair of tunes. One is from the first record. It's called 111 Archer Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a little... I'm a huge Wes Anderson film fan. He did, mm-hmm. For people who don't know who he is, he did Rushmore, Bottle Rocket, Royal Tenenbaums.
Mm-hmm.
What's the new one? Life Aquatic. And 111 Archer Avenue is the sort of fictional address of where the Tenenbaums live. So, whatever. I'm a freak.
Okay.
So there's that. And then I'm going to follow up with a tune called What Took You So Long, which is on the new one, Across the Bridge. And that one is actually loosely dedicated to David, who built this guitar. I sort of joke about it now, but at the time it was pretty serious. About halfway into building this guitar, he caught one of the nastiest cases of pneumonia anyone's ever had and nearly died. But he made it through and finished the guitar. And so, you know, I of course had to ask him what took him so long. But that tune is kind of for him. So,
great.
All right, here it goes. Thank you.
Mike Golay, live in the studio this morning. He's at MikeGolay.com. And yeah, he's a wicked decent guitar player, I'd say. Quite good. Also a friend to a guy who played on the show recently, Ed Gerhard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ed is the man.
Yeah.
I love his stuff.
Yeah. Hey, he is so into the whole spatial zone.
You know, everybody says that. And what I realized, I saw Ed at Kennebunk.
Recently. Yeah.
Recently. And what hit me harder than anything, and I've seen Ed play several times live, and I've listened to his stuff for years. What hit me was how absolutely confident you have to be in your playing to play the way Ed plays. He leaves so much space.
Right.
And you have to be so ballsy, can I say that? To hit a note and let it hang and have it sound as good as Ed sounds. It's really hard. He's, you know, Miles Davis did it. I think Al does it. But I think it's really difficult. It's much more, I think it's much easier to fill up space with notes than it is to just really feel confident in what you're playing and let it hang. Because the guitar is really hard to do that on. It's a very difficult instrument. You play a note and the decay starts immediately. There's really not much sustain with a guitar. You know, that just goes.
Uh-huh.
So I love Ed stuff. All right. Yeah. Enough Ed worship, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Ed worship. Speaking of worship, you brought in some other discs that, we were thinking of using as a tuning break.
Sure.
And these are all people that you either, do you know all, everyone that you brought in?
I know most of them. There are a couple on there who I don't know, but most of them I know. Yeah.
Yeah. For instance, Adrian Legg.
Adrian Legg, yeah. He's a
monster.
Great British guitarist. Been around for decades. The thing I love about Adrian more than anything is that he just doesn't care. He's the kind of guy who says, I'm going to have an acoustic guitar that has two electric pickups in it, and I'm going to put chorus and delay on it and slap back, and I'm going to record this tune. It's going to be great, and you're going to love it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care. And, you know, and some... You know, purists might say, well, you know, that's not folk music or that's not acoustic music. And Adrian says, so, you know, I'm not even going to try to do the accent, but he's one of the funniest guys on the planet.
Oh,
too.
Really?
He's hilarious.
And you have a particular track off of his record, Wine, Women, and Waltz, called, what is it, Queenie's Waltz?
Queenie's Waltz. This is probably one of the first tunes I ever learned to play of another artist. And I remember... Adrian was one of the guys, probably the guy who got me to think, okay, you know, yeah, I'd like to play guitar, but I don't really get along with other people, so maybe solo would be a good idea. And then I saw him, and, you know, he's sitting out there playing these tunes, these great tunes, and telling stories and stuff, and I thought, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Queenie's was kind of, in many ways, kind of the foundation for me learning how to play solo guitar and got me sort of started to get me interested in Celtic types of music, which is Queenie's is kind of a Celtic kind of tune.
Well, let's go to it.
All
Queenie's
right.
Waltz from Adrian Legg. Thank you. Adrian Legg, Queenie's Waltz, from the album Wine, Women, and Waltz. Something recommended by our guest this morning, Mike Golay.
How you doing, Chris?
Good. I can see why you like that.
Yeah.
It's like...
He's the man.
Yeah, he is the man. Yeah. Well, you know, you got to say that about Don and...
Yeah,
Ed.
Right. They're all the men. They're the men.
Yeah, right. So you're tuned up and ready to do a... What are you going to do next?
I'm going to do another tune off their first record. It's called Chincoteague Drive-In Saturday Night. It's again,
I love that. It's a great, great song.
Thank
it's
you.
That's one of the ones that I sort of flagged.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's one of those tunes. I tell this story often, but I don't get bored of it. So I don't really do the beats very well, but I frequently get dragged there, and I sit there and bake and get really... pensive and whatever. I should figure out something, you know, to do there, but so far I haven't. It's just sand and who knows. So
I like those nice little tents, you know.
Yeah, then it's like the whole care. Yeah, right.
No, the really light little ones.
Yeah, that's true. We should look into that.
Yeah.
At any rate, I used to go down to, when I lived in D.C., to this area called Chincoteague, like I said, I get bored there, but there was on the way into Chincoteague, there was this roller rink called The Dream, and it was painted. I assume it's still there. I haven't been there in a while, but it's called The Dream, and it's painted pale yellow. And behind The Dream is this drive-in that's been closed for a number of years, but they still mow it, and they still kind of keep it up and everything. And I thought it was really cool, and I thought how fun it must have been to go to the drive-in at this little town, you know, through the 70s or whatever, 50s through 70s when it was open and everything. And I kind of have a soft spot for drive-in. So I did this tune kind of as a tribute to that place and also to all the drive-ins. There are a couple in the area, which is pretty cool. In Bridgeton
nice
and a few. So
right there on Route 1, there's
yep.
a couple drive-ins.
Yep, cool. So here we go. This is called Chincoteague Drive-In Saturday Night. Say that three times fast.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Michael Lay live in the studio this morning. Wow. I love those little flourishes at the end, even, you know, the little harmonic flourishes and the...
Yeah, you got to do it upright.
How do you select to end it proper, you know?
It's a little different every time, you know? I don't know. I didn't play it like that on the record, but I... Actually, I think I might have ripped that off from Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got that from Adrian.
Yeah.
And then just recently, I started doing that. Bend past the capo.
Mm-hmm.
Al does that, too. So.
Yeah. Have you played at the New York Guitar Festival?
I have not. Huh. Someday, maybe.
You would be a great candidate for that,
all right,
that festival.
Let everybody know. I'll be there.
I will. Actually, I've just been listening to the Wall to Wall Guitar Festival. It's a podcast,
yeah,
and it's a great podcast. You know, you pick through and you go through the names that you really want to hear. Like, he has one with Daniel Lenoir, and who's a great instrumentalist and songwriter. And then he has some others that are just, you know, straight, you know, guitar heroes.
Right.
And, but anyway, so.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Because I know Ed's played that.
Yeah.
And certainly you qualify.
I'll try.
In my book, you qualify anyway.
Thank you.
Again, you're listening to Us Folk. Michael Lay is the in-studio guest. He's at mikegolay.com, and it's mikegolay.com. And it's kind of odd because there's linkages that have other names, other URLs. I'm not sure what that's all about, but
right. Well, yeah, I have. It's funny. I started out my website. I've had a website since like '96.
Well, you're cyber savvy.
Yeah, I started doing the web thing many years ago, and I was doing it for other reasons other than music. And when I did the first record in 2003, I had, you know, this BanshiWorks.com website. And which I think that's probably what you're referring to. And I had, you know, all the music stuff there, and I started getting some airplay. And one of the DJs up in Canada, Bob Evans, who has a great weekly show called Six Strings and a Million Possibilities, said, you know, check him out at mikegolay.com. And I thought, right, I should get that.
Oh, that's my new URL.
Exactly. So I did. But I haven't moved all the other stuff over. There's a massive lot of stuff on my website.
Really?
So yeah,
I'll have to noodle around with it.
You can get lost.
I know. Yeah. We want to mention that this program is on the air thanks to the generosity of our listeners and an underwriting grant from Acoustic Coffee, featuring nightly entertainment, an all-vegetarian menu, or organic coffee, beer, and wine. Acoustic Coffee hosts local, national, and international acts. Acoustic Coffee opens at 8 a.m. on Monday through Friday and Saturdays at 9 a.m. Located at 32 Danforth Street in Portland, Acoustic Coffee's phone number is 774-0404. Information and calendar of events is available at acousticcoffee.net. Also, Thursday nights is the main songwriters' weekly. Is it weekly or monthly meeting? Do they have a monthly or is it?
I want to say it's weekly.
I think Thursday nights acoustic, and that's mainsongwriters.com, and it's MEsongwriters, no apostrophe .com. Are you a member of that?
I am not as of yet.
Oh, okay.
I need to learn to sing.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't, people don't want to hear
You're
that
not
from
there
me
yet.
Just yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We also have to mention that this program, Us Folk, is on the air thanks to listener support and an underwriting grant from the Full Circle Synergy School of Tai Chi Chuan. Proudly co-sponsoring a public lecture by Ken Cohn about the medical research which articulates the benefits of practicing Qigong for those living with cancer, Thursday, March 30th at 7 p.m. at USM's Hannaford Lecture Hall in Portland. All are welcome. For more information, you can go to 780-9581 or maintaichi.com. That's Maine spelled out as in the state, T-A-I-C-H-I.com. We're at WMPG.org, and Mike Golay is at mikegolay.com. Now that we've got that out of the way, now I feel better.
Cool. Yeah, you got the duties.
I've got the duties. Now, should we go to a tuning break?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
I have Jim Tozer, who's on our label that I know Al and Amy have done some stuff on, Solid Air Records.
Yeah.
And I think Ed, does Ed have anything on
Sonny? Yeah, he does. Yes. Sunnyland is coming out. His new record is coming out on Sonny.
Did you hear that show?
I did. Yeah.
And he did some nice pieces.
Yeah.
Did you hear the mix where he had the studio mix of that one song with the bottle? Did you hear that?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard the record just yet.
Oh, so you didn't listen to the show when he was on it?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Sorry.
I thought you meant the live show, but yeah.
I know you went to the live show.
Yeah, no.
And he was probably doing the thing on the bottle afterwards.
Probably.
Whatever.
Yeah, much later.
So we have Jim Tozer. Now, have you worked with him or played with him?
Jim
or?
Is a really good friend. I met him down in Maryland. He's also a former student of Al's, and Al's produced all three of Jim's records. Just a phenomenal player. Really good friend. We've done some duo stuff together, live duo stuff together. We'd love to record together, but he's down in Maryland. He's actually getting ready to move even further away down to Georgia. But that's not going to stop us. I mean, we've gotten together and played in California together before, and we're gonna play together again soon. But he did this beautiful, beautiful tune for his wife, Mary Louise. And I'm just going to give a shout out to Mary Louise, Owen, Aaron, Shannon, and the noodle on the way. They have they have another one coming up in a month or so, I believe. This tune is called The Copper Waltz, and I think it's one of Jim's best.
Here
it's
it
on
is.
Solo guitar.
Jim Tozer from his album Solo Guitar. We heard The Copper Waltz at the behest of our guest, Mike Golay, who's live in the studio this morning. Such a pleasure to hear you.
Thank you very
and
much.
Just got a call from Washington, D.C. The signal is back up.
Nice.
And he can't make it to Jam in Java. And he is friends of Alan Amy, too. This guy
cool.
named Henry. He wonders if you can do a house concert here or there, but, you know, anyway. I'll get you guys.
Okay. So. Sounds good.
What are we going to do next now that you've had your tuning break?
I think I'm going to do a record. I'm going to do a record
in here.
I'm
going to do a record.
We can do that in the next 40 minutes. I'm going to do a tune called The Handsome Young Maidens, which is on the new record, Across the Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, the first tune I ever learned to play on guitar. And it was certainly the only Celtic tune I knew and probably the only tune I knew for about 4 years.
Really?
And I went to Ireland in 97, and I was just, I was dead set on sitting in a pub somewhere and sitting in with Irish musicians. I just had to. Of course, this is the only tune I knew. So I had to find a pub where the guys knew this tune. And of course, they'd know my tune and my arrangement because, you know, it's Ireland. Right?
Sure.
You know, who wouldn't?
Right.
But every place I went in, you know, I'd go in and there'd be these guys, 67-year-old red-faced guys playing at like Mach 20. I just could not hang.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally ended up in a place in Dingle, which is County Kerry,
mm-hmm.
And called Dick Max, which is a real kind of joint, you know, real institution. It's about a third bar, a third... I'm going to run out. I don't do math very well. It's part bar, part hardware store, part shoe cobbler, part vet. It's really strange. But
sounds like up in the county, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And they had this old ratty guitar sitting behind the bar. It was totally packed. And I finally said, you know, would you mind if I played that guitar? And so the guy said, sure. And he gave it to me. And I tuned it up the best I could. And I played this tune. On an Irish guitar, an Irish tune, and an Irish guitar in an Irish pub, and you know, mission accomplished. Nobody heard a note, but maybe that wasn't such a bad thing at the time. So yeah, this is The Handsome Young Maiden.
Here it is. Of course, you had to throw that in on the end there.
The Handsome Young Maidens and many more.
Yeah, and yeah. Many more.
Little cheer. Right.
Please. Michael Lay is our live in studio guest this morning. You're listening to Us Folk here on WMPG. We are a community station out of, southern Maine, Portland. A foggy morning. It's a foggy day.
See, this is why I don't sing.
This is, yeah. Michael Lay, you have lots of friends in the guitar business or industry or whatever. Is there anyone that you've studied with that you're besides Al that you're particularly fond of? Or
Al's the only guy I've ever studied with. And that was, I have to say, you know, more of a friendship. I'd go over to Al's place. And we'd sit, we would do these hour lessons that would usually stretch on for 3 hours. Al wouldn't charge me.
Mm-hmm.
And we just tune and retune and talk, and I'd try to play stuff, and Al would play back to me, and I would get really depressed. But then I would just, like, you know, he's such a nice guy, such a great guy, such a great player. And it was great being able to soak up his knowledge. And also, he and Amy's positivity. I mean, they're just two of the most positive people on earth. And I love spending time with him. When we mixed the new record, I was only down there for a day and a half. We didn't have much time to do it, but we got through it really quickly. And, you know, I was happy for like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, just it's kind of like they buoy people, you know, it's really nice. And I'm actually getting ready to go down to DC next week, and I'm going to open up for them at Jam and Java on the 16th.
Right.
And I'm really looking forward to that too, you know, because it's just I need some Al and Amy hangout.
They really put on a great show, and they like you say, they're very, very positive.
Yep.
And they're really into the groove, and they just get into this unexpectedly, because you think of Al as somewhat of a Celtic guitarist, a Celtic guitar great, but he is a guitar great. And knows where the groove is and just can find it so easily. And they both do percussion as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. I noticed that you were doing a little percussive stuff on your guitar as well.
I started out as a drummer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually was a drummer for a long, long time. Started playing when I was about 3 and played up through college and into my 20s. And that's probably where some of that comes from. People ask, well, how do you do that? And, you know, how do you hit the guitar and play at the same time? And I just basically, you know, I'm not being facetious, but
practice.
It's like, well, hit it and play it, you know, hit it, hit the guitar.
Practice.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we have another tuning break, for you. And, we have, a great dobro player.
Probably the greatest.
Jerry Douglas. And you picked a song, the front track on his album called Look Out for Hope. And any particular reason that this one is a marquee for you for some reason?
Well, you know, a lot of people have covered this tune. It's a great tune. Allman Brothers did it first, mm-hmm. I think, right? Little Martha?
I think so.
Yeah. Leo Kottke's done it. It's a super fun tune, but I don't think most people would think of a dobro as an instrument where you would play a tune like this. But Jerry is not your typical dobro player. I mean, this is a guy who plays Birdland on dobro. And I just, he's one of the most inspiring players. I think I'm really inspired by people who just kind of transcend their instrument. It's, you know, you think of them as not necessarily a guitar player or a horn player or whatever. You just think of them as a player, you know, and that's the way I think of Jerry. So.
Player with a big P.
That's right.
There he is, Jerry Douglas.